Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you. Happy holiday week. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you can join us, can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865 on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, and can email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Busy show. We'll get caught up with Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Mondays with Jay coming up in about 15 minutes. Get his take on Penn State, get his take on Iowa, and get his take on 2017. We'll wrap all of that in, kind of like your Thanksgiving Day spread. The turkey, the cranberry, the green bean casserole. What else? The stuffing, the sweet potatoes, the mashed potatoes, and depending if you're hosting or not, the amounts of wine you require. In hour two, 1 hour from now, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Coach Charlie McBride, get his take on the Iowa contest and the issue all year on Nebraska's defense tackling, because that is what smoked you, one of many things, but it smoked you against Penn State, even though you got off to a decent start. DeMornay Pearsonell, one of our favorites. He has been so gracious and kind. We have talked to DeMornay since he's been a freshman, and now it's here. It's the final home game for DeMornay, his final game at Memorial Stadium. A true talent and a good dude. We'll sit down with DeMornay Pearsonell at 5:25. So we can start a lot of different places. And I want to go back to Saturday for a little bit. And really, this week feels kind of like closing time, right? You put a bow on the season. It's not how you wanted it to go if you're a Nebraska fan. You feel and you hear a lot. The change will come at some point for Nebraska football, with staff, with direction of the program is what you're hoping. And you want to send out Mike Riley in a classy, dignified way, because good dude, and it just hasn't worked out here, and all that is kind of what's ahead. It's dominating, and it will grow louder as you get closer to Black Friday in Iowa. Still got a game to play. You as a Nebraska fan still want to find a way to beat Iowa. It's been a long time since you've beaten Iowa, and two of the last three games have not even been close. You've gotten drilled. You've gotten dominated. And that is that's a problem. If you're a Nebraska fan, especially within the neighborhood of the Western Division. We'll spend a little bit of time on the Chip Kelly sweepstakes, where he could end up. Great write-up by Brandon Vogel on, okay, Nebraska in option football. Would you welcome it back? I don't want to quite go ex-girlfriend or wife route, but hey, you had some good times. You had a lot of good times with option football. So we can get into that for a little bit. Some sound and thoughts from Mike Riley as well. And Chip Kelly this weekend on all those who are chasing him. So that's kind of on the docket. So I want to start off with Saturday. So we had some people over. Not a true house full. And so I'm watching the game with a couple buddies and Junior. And you know, fourth quarter, wife gets off work. Fourth quarter, she gets Carson, and she's like, well, we're going to go shopping. And then she just kind of let that float. And I'm like, go shopping, fine. Well, do you want to go? And, you know, thought bubble over my head, well, do I want to watch you go incinerate money? No, I don't. And I was just short with her. I was like, no, I'm gonna watch the game. At that point, it's 49-14, 49-20. I don't know, man. It was, you know, the bludgeoning that took place in the first half, 42-10. You know the run Penn State went on with consecutive touchdowns after they trailed 10-7 at the end of the first quarter. And you know the six consecutive three and outs that happened with the offense. And then the offense and defense played anti-complementary football. The offense was doing nothing. The defense wasn't tackling at all in those conditions. But it's not the rain's fault. Simple swing pass. 0-60 in 2.3 seconds for Saquon or whoever else was in. It was big play fest against Bob Diaco's defense. So I look at this and I just kind of sternly said, no, I want to see how these guys finish out. Is this going to be a repeat of Minnesota, or is this going to be a ball game where the team kind of looks in the mirror and says, all right, we may not win this thing, but we're going to fight like hell to try and make it respectable. And you saw a 180 from the Minnesota game. You saw a team continue to fight, continue to throw. And look, they're supposed to, right? That's a given. But it's not always a given. And it wasn't a given against Minnesota. And while you have points that were put up and points against some second-team guys probably midway through the fourth quarter for Penn State, you'll still take it. At this point, Nebraska is not on a lot of highlight reels. Penn State was pretty highly ranked, 10 or 13th. So there was probably 30 seconds on national broadcast or halftime shows or post-game recaps that said, okay, here's Nebraska. They played Penn State, and it looked like a shootout. It looked way more respectable than it truly was. But the guys kept going, and maybe they carry that somewhere forward here this week against Iowa. And here's what I'm wondering if it can happen and how soon it can happen for Nebraska football to get fixed. It's not about getting an 11-2 season tomorrow. It's not about dominating the offseason with 4 and 5 stars. It comes down to simple things for me, like tackling, like first downs, like is it 3rd and 9, hell, purgatory for you, where that's where your offense is stuck because you're not getting much done on 1st and 2nd down. And when it comes to this team's response to adversity, that is the biggest thing that needs to be fixed, and it's between their ears, and it has to be done on the field when it comes to learning how to win. You as a Nebraska fan right now are kind of soul-searching with either done being mad, or you find a way to get cranked up and be angry again because it seems like there may be a new low each week, and you haven't felt good about your team, or you're now into compartmentalizing what you feel good about. Well, Tanner Lee looked all right. Stanley went for a 185, and you lost by 12. And some of you made some money because you took Nebraska in the points. Some of you lost some money because you didn't take Nebraska in the points. Not judging, just saying. You find new ways to kind of reach out and stay interested in it. For Nebraska football to get back on the right track, and from a directional standpoint, the wins will come once the attitude changes. And I don't know where or why it got sideways. And this isn't only a Mike Riley thing, but you look at when things start mounting up and the snowball happens, and this happened during Bo, and you can point to the Wisconsin game, or you can point to the UCLA game back in 2013 where they scored 4 straight touchdowns after being down 20-3. There's some point where the defense gets, you know, a pucker level of 12 out of 10, and they just can't respond or answer. And it's a psyche thing, it's a mindset thing, and that's what needs to be repaired. That's the number one thing whoever's coming in here needs to do, and that is sit the dudes down and just not get overwhelmed when things go wrong. And you saw early in the game, Penn State did Nebraska solid and muffed the punt. Well, there's a little life in the team, and they were up 10-7. They're feeling good. They kind of kept and stayed interested in it. And so many times this season, this team has been a bug to windshield when something has gone sideways or wrong. And depending on how early momentum goes, that is going to be the tale of the game for this football team. Exception being the Rutgers game. Nothing started off freaking awful as well, but they found a way. Didn't look good. Had to hang on for dear life, but at least it wasn't another Northern Illinois repeat. Could have been. So I give them kudos for responding that way. But overall, the body of work has not been one of response to adversity. And someone needs to teach them how to do that. And guys come from 1,000 different backgrounds. And for some dudes to make it to college and be a Division I player and be a stud academically, I mean, that's some major adversity. To move away from home or to put up with maybe not being the man and you got to start at the bottom of the totem pole and work your way up and now you're starting. I mean, there are things guys on this team have overcome in life to be able to play ball and play at a school like Nebraska. Well, when it comes to on field, there just needs to be some sort of belief. And I think there's a moment or two that happened in so many of these games in 2017 and 2016 and at times 2015 and 2014 and 2013 before and during the Riley after the Riley era. It needs to stop in 2017 going into 2018. That is that snowball effect, that lack of response to adversity and being able to kind of roll with the good and the bad. And you hear, and I call my kid this a lot with his favorite player or favorite team. He's a front-running puke, right? Because he's a guy who, damn, it's like he's been on Aaron Judge's fan club list forever. No, that's new. Same with Seattle. He started liking Seattle when they won a Super Bowl. He didn't suffer through the Dave Craig years like most of us. There's a point in time where you just got to be you, and that's got to be positive. Riley talked about being positive and why he's positive all the time, and for that not to trickle down to this team, because he's always smiling, he's always positive, he's not fake or blowing smoke, but he always tries to point out, accentuate the positive. And at some point, there's not been enough results in practice and certainly during games where you believe things will change, your luck will change, your effort will make a difference. They are defeatists. That's what's happened. And whoever comes in here to try and fix this thing, wins and losses, yeah, you want to be 9-4 and playing games of meaning and competing and winning this. I get that. That needs to happen soon for Nebraska football or it's truly dead. But to build up to that 9-4, 10-2, 10-3, 11-2, West Division champ, Big Ten champ, college football, New Year's Day 6, all those things you want and are just craving as a Nebraska fan. It's going to start between the ears with this team. When things go wrong, when you know what starts flowing downhill, you're able to get out of the way, sidestep, and believe it's going to be okay. Because I have no doubt that the position coaches or coordinators have said, you know, we'll get it fixed. It'll be all right. Well, at some point you lose faith in that message because it hasn't gotten fixed. And it's as simple as, well, the D didn't get off the field again on third down. Oh, whoops, the D got torched again on third and long. Or if you're on the defensive side of the ball, there's the offense going six straight three and outs. And there's no heavy you're trying to move a couch and the offense is having a beer break while the defense is trying to carry, or vice versa. No one's carrying at the same time. So you got to find a way to get this group of dudes that's still here or coming in to shift and change their mindset on what can be done. And when things go wrong, you respond the right way. That's the first and most important thing for Nebraska football moving forward. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. And I think there's just been, winning's contagious, so you want to pass down how to do things And you hear Coach McBride talk about it. You hear Grant Wistrom talk about it. You hear Ralph Brown talk about it. You hear guys that were part of the program and part of those championships talk about the paying it forward. Well, guys have tried to be examples like the Chris Webbers, like the DeMornay Pearson-Ells, like the Amani Crosses, like the Jeremiah Searles, guys that have done well, had success, Spencer Long, and then that's who you want to emulate. That's who you want to follow. But while when it comes to on-field performance or going about your daily work, there needs to be a payoff with that. Payoff being winning big games, winning championships. And right now there's a disconnect of proof. The proof is the win. And the wins will come, but you got to change your mind and your attitude and really your belief with how things can get done and handled. And that's the biggest job moving forward with the fix of Nebraska football. We'll talk to Jay Moore, get his take on things in a bit. Hope you're doing great on a Monday. Can email us, chris@hailvarsity.com. Can get in touch with us on Twitter, chris@, hold on. It's Schmidt_radio. We should probably change the old Twitter handle to Hail Varsity or something. Can find us on Twitter with Hail Varsity, @HailVarsity. And dial us up, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer, DeMornay Pearson-Ells, an hour away.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Well, I have seen it all on Twitter with the hashtag Frost Come Home, with the video on YouTube. It's not Springsteen-esque, but damn, the vocal range is impressive, just like sacking quarterbacks is impressive. A man that used to do it a lot, top 10 in all-time tackles for loss. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt Husker and NFLer Jay Moore, part of Hail Varsity at JMoore44. Bird, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you fine gentlemen doing on a Monday afternoon?
We're okay. We're all right. You know, high school football's going on. Like, watching that here bad. In studio, that's good stuff.
And looking forward to that Class B matchup tonight between York and Scott. Should be a good one.
Yeah, man, both really tremendous programs. I can't wait to watch that one. That'll be a ton of fun. And before we get into Iowa week and Coach Riley, I wanted to get your take on Penn State. What do you take away from Nebraska's second half? Do you remember more of the second quarter or more of the second half? And I'm not asking you physically remembering. I'm not insinuating anything. I'm just saying what sticks out. What do you take with you more, the way they finished or that second quarter that put them out of it?
Yeah, I think I don't put too much stock in the way they finished. I mean, let's be honest. I think you know, it's a whole different scenario when, you know, you're going down. You know how many points they were in halftime? I can't remember, to be honest.
42-10.
42-10. I mean, your whole mindset. You know, for Penn State, changed a little bit. You know, you're kind of just making sure you don't screw anything up. You don't do anything crazy. You know, as Nebraska, you're getting a little more aggressive. You know, Listen, I mean, you really can't. You got to do everything you can to try to get back to the ball game. Man, let's be honest. There was, once you got into that fourth quarter, there were a lot of clean jerseys and pants on Penn State side that were playing offensively and defensively. So it wasn't like they had their A squad out there. But I mean, hey, it was nice that they made the game. It was nice that they made it. You know, when you see the score scroll through on the bottom, it looks a little respectful for if people aren't watching the game. But let's be honest, there's obviously the same issues that you've seen from the last. Oh, hell, since game one or this whole season is still there defensively, offensively with this football team. And it's kind of just disappointing that, you didn't see much improvement throughout the year. It was a disappointment that you could either say there was regression. There was they became a worse football team. If you want to go back even to the Illinois game, there were some promising things there, and I know Illinois is not the best football team, but they just kind of got worse as the season went on, and it's just disappointing to have to watch and have to think about, and that's leading us to a change. And I'm sure we're a week from now, we're probably talking about who Mike Riley's replacement is going to be. You know, I think he'll probably be pretty official come this weekend.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I just got done blabbing about this, and I think you want to return to winning big games, to winning the games you're supposed to win, and also you want to return to that that national scene. I mean, that's all kind of on the wish list and a wish list of Nebraska fans. But for all that to start, to me, it's going to be something about the mindset shift and the kind of the psyche where this team is good when things kind of start off okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been instances where it's gone to hell in a handbasket, but they've come back. I'm thinking Oregon, right? I mean, they gathered themselves. But for the most part, if things went sideways early, then you knew they were done. It comes back to being able to handle adversity much, much better and is positive and is open as Coach Riley is and some of his staff and how good they are at talking about the issues. There's been very little response to adversity. And to me, whoever comes in here, that is what truly fixes Nebraska football. There's things that build up to a winning culture and mindset and program, practice style and habits. I get all that. But it comes first and foremost down to belief and what's between your ears about when things go bad. And am I wrong with that? Because I think that's like step number one is getting with this group and future kids to believe that, you know, most things that do happen are bad. It's about how you handle the bad that makes you a winner and a champion. I think that's the first step in this fix.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think I can look back to, you know, my time playing, and you know, you want to look at the 5-6 year with Callahan's first year, where you know we had some things go wrong, and you look forward to the 05 season, and some games didn't go the same way, and then all of a sudden when they would go wrong, you kind of have that same feeling like, uh-oh, here we go again.
Right.
But as a player, you know, I can look back to other games where that wasn't the case. You know, we got down early. I look at Texas Tech, 05. We got down like 21-3 or 21-10 or pretty early where Texas Tech got some things going, but we came back to eventually have the lead in that game until I think they end up getting a last-minute touchdown there.
That was all Lekeven.
Yeah. I still kick myself because I was right there to get it, too, and I just should have got it because, you know, being a former running back, you know, I would have never fumbled, you know, wink, wink.
I was thinking you'd take it to the house, but whatever. Well,
maybe that, too. I think the process, the process of getting there, it's difficult when you're going through the grind and the process of the practice and the workload to you don't see the results. What Matt Campbell said at Iowa State in the postgame locker room, I think after they beat TCU, it's, you know, going through that process and trusting the process and trusting that one day this process will love you back, will take care of you. Well, that process hasn't taken care of Nebraska. And you can definitely tell that the kids aren't buying in anymore to that process. Whether you want to call it, you know, the effort's not there or not, I don't know. I still think there's a lot of confusion. Everyone's not on the same page with the coaches and with the players. And that's, you know, you can play the blame game there, but it's everyone, you know, it's the players and the coaches' fault, in my opinion. But I think there's just, you have to, when those uh-oh moments, here we go again, come across, you're gonna naturally think those, but there has to be a time to where you've gotten out of it. Nebraska has. You can look at the Miami game from Riley's first year. You know, you're down, you get back into overtime. You can look at the Oregon game this year. You can maybe even consider the second half, you know, of this game where it kind of looks like, wow, you get a stop here, you get the onside kick, whatever it may be. They might have to bring McSorley back in and try to seal this ball game up. But, Nebraska just hasn't gotten the love, and it's hard. It's hard to get there. But that just comes down to kind of a mental toughness thing. That comes down to kind of forgetting the scoreboard. That was kind of the best advice I ever got as a player when you're out there playing was, you know, the scoreboard doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Whether you're up 28-0 or you're down, you know, 28 points, your job is still your job. leave the scoreboards up to the coaches and their calls. Whatever the play is called, you do it to your best ability, to 110%, and you do what you practice, what you're coached, what you're trained on, and that's what you do, play after play after play. It doesn't matter if you're down or you're up. It shouldn't matter. So I just think Nebraska kind of just gets into that, oh, crap, you know, here we go again, and you know, they pout a little bit, they feel sorry for themselves, and it shows in their play, and they can't recover. So that's just the way I look at it. They've got to become a mentally tougher team to get over these hurdles, these psychological hurdles of bad football, and it's tough because it's a lot of bad football right now, and it's hard to go through.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at JayMoore44 on Twitter. Jay Bird, a thought here on Friday in Iowa. How do you think the crowd rallies around Riley? How do you think the state comes together, or do they? How do you think Nebraska presumably sends out this 2017 team?
You know, I think there'll be a good showing. I know the weather is supposed to be really good. That helps. You know, Iowa hasn't been playing their best, so I think people are still excited, you know, that they can come in here and beat Iowa. And I think people still respect Mike Riley as a coach, and they still like Mike Riley, but it's just not – it just hasn't worked out. It hasn't been the right fit. So I think they'll respect that aspect of it, respect him, but respect these players. I mean, this 17 class, you know, they you know, come in, and I think at least show respect to these kids that have put forth the effort, put forth the work to try to put a good product on the field. And I know it hasn't been great, but as Nebraska fans, I think that would be poor on our part to say we're not showing up because we don't. I mean, you know, you can look at it what it is, but I still think there'll be a good showing in my mind, just with the weather. This is the last time. It's the last game, home game. I can't believe it's already done. It's flown by. But I expect a good showing, and I think Nebraska will. It'll be a good game. I think it'll be a close game. It'll be a tight game. But it'll be interesting to see how the psychological aspect of this coaching staff and these players are going to be this one last time, because they're not going to a bowl game. Let's just put it that way. So, what are you going to do? It's your last time suiting up. You know, you might as well load it up, give it all you got, and just go out with a bang, because this is the last time as a team you're playing football this year, and as a staff, this is the last time we're going to be together as a staff. So make it, go out in a bang, you know, and put something together that's respectable, that this fan base, the state can be proud of.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, at JayMoore44. Jay, I'll probably text and harass you, but if I don't, or my phone breaks, have a great Thanksgiving with you and your family, man. Appreciate you jumping on for a few minutes.
Yeah, no problem. You too. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. And maybe I can sneak in there one more time this week, and we can chit-chat a little bit.
That'd be all good to see you. Take care of yourself, brother. Thanks.
Yeah, later.
All right, there he is, JayMoore44 on Twitter. Okay, so we got Jay's thoughts, and again, it's a mentality, it's a mindset, and the old process is very real. It's living, it's alive, it's part of that grind, and it comes back to those results that you want at the end of the fourth quarter. So we'll get into Chip Kelly, the coaching carousel. Coach McBride's coming up. Thoughts from Mike Riley shortly. DeMornay Pearson L will join us. I want you to join me at Madonna Proactive, an incredible workout facility, 56th and Pine Lake Road. Fitness and wellness, you have goals for it, let Madonna help you get there. They'll offer individualized personal training, beginner and advanced courses, variety of fitness options for you, three pools, including Lincoln's only aqua track, 56th and Pine Lake. Make that scheduled appointment today, 402-420-0000. Madonna Proactive, log on, see it's beauty. How great it is, MadonnaProactive.org.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great stuff from Jay Moore. Reminder to you, Black Friday Roadshow with Hail Varsity Radio. 10 to noon, we're at Miller Time Pub inside the legendary Cornhusker Marriott. 10 to noon, getting your Black Friday kicked off. If Mama Bear's going shopping or the kids are going, fine, escape with me, pre-Iowa, down to Miller Time Pub. 10 to noon, that's where you can go. That's where you can get all primed up. We'll hear from Mike Riley in a little bit. We'll spend a couple of minutes here on Baker Mayfield and his best Michael Jackson impersonation. Just don't mess with him. Just don't taunt him. He feeds off of it. He's had to be a walk-on before. He's going to win the Heisman. He thinks he can outrun police in cowboy boots. That's a proven sports science fact that never can or will happen. Just don't taunt him. Let him go into Sleepy Lawrence and be half interested. That's my advice. Mike Riley thoughts coming up. The Chip Kelly sweepstakes. And your thoughts on Nebraska as they head into Iowa. Take anything with you in your back pocket from the Penn State performance. Let's go to the phones. Nate's been on hold. Let's get to Nate here. Nate, welcome into the show. How are you?
Man, I'm better. I'm not parked next to a cattle truck today. I'm feeling really good about that.
I'm happy
little,
for you.
Little gordita action going on. Life's good right now, Chris. So, you know, I just want to, you know, I've talked to you and Gregus Maximus many times about my belief that the neuroses of the fan base is a lot of our problem. And here it comes again. Oh, but we only lost to Penn State by 10 points. And look at that great comeback in the second quarter. Dude, it was third stringers playing prevent. And yet people literally want to say, well, how can we play Penn State so close? Minnesota whooped us. Dude, Penn State was on pace to score 84 points. They probably would have easily exceeded that if James Franklin really wanted to be a butthole. But he probably sees that Riley's already out the door and didn't want to throw salt on the open wound. So
he took a long time to pull Mr. McSorley.
They were thinking about
throwing Barkley back in to pad the numbers. Listen, there are two streets here to walk on.
Okay.
They checked out and didn't give a damn second half against Minnesota, or they kept trying to throw grenades and score points and make it as close as possible. Listen, that game does not reflect how badly Penn State dominated Nebraska.
Oh, no.
But it could have been Leach and Tech 70-10, and they didn't let that happen.
Oh,
that's my
worked.
Tip. They're supposed to fight, but the point is they did. Different week two than from week one, a week ago.
Do you believe moving forward that, A, the next coach, whoever that may be, will be able to instill enough value in them and frankly, cojones in them that it won't get out of hand in the first place? Because to me, my thing is, you're all good throwing grenades at the end, but why weren't you throwing grenades in the first quarter?
Tommy
Armstrong is a great fighter. No, Tommy got credit for digging himself out of holes. He mostly created half the time. No.
It wasn't all Tommy on the offense.
It's crazy.
Here's what happens. It comes down to a game plan that works either in structure or execution. And when those two things come together and they come out and they jump on an opponent that's good, and then roll somebody that's good, eventually they need some buy-in. Right now, what they're doing hasn't worked, so it's a little harder each week to probably check in and go, yeah, this will work this time. It hasn't the last 7 weeks. Hasn't worked against anybody with a number next to their name, but it'll work today. That's the issue right now.
Can you score me tickets to the presser? We're boys. We've been doing this for a long time. I want to see him get fired.
That's so wrong. There's not going to be a presser. There's not going to be a presser and an executioner's mask. Okay, it's going to be an
email. It's going to be
an email. Nate, you take care.
Resigns.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen with that. If it's going to be a resignation / retirement, or if it's going to be a termination. That's all to be negotiated. Listen, we'll let you resign. Keep 70% of the buyout. If you want to keep 100% of it, we got to off you. That's for Mr. Moose and Mr. Riley. That conversation to be had. Nate, come on, man. Does he have DVDs of Faces of Death, too, he wants to throw in? Mike Riley, when it comes to sideways and the mystery of this team, why? Why did it happen? And you've heard a lot of this is year three, but it feels more like year one, I guess. But your consistency's been the main issue. Some series guys will perform and execute. Some games, game plans will be put together, and it will crush an opposing offense or defense. But for the most part, it's not been in sync.
This team being a mystery, you know, that no matter what happens when you enter into the year, the reality of it is that it all unfolds and you have a vision of what that should be. And of course, losing isn't part of that. I don't anticipate years like that. And I don't really judge it like that. Once you get into it, you find out more of what you have, what you have to do, whether it's short term, long term, but you have to make plans for how to make it better.
That's what he's been trying to do. Stay in the moment, adjust to what adversity there is, get him to perform. So, question was asked, and I'm going to do the short version of this answer. But through all of this, through this tenure, through this ride, through this week, Mike, why have you been able to stay so positive? And I think he's just an optimist.
Short answer to your question, that's the way I want to do it. I want to enjoy these kids and coach them and teach them and have an atmosphere that is about learning. Now, that doesn't mean that you disregard the demand part of it. This is a demanding physical thing. We had probably our most demanding off-season program ever. We tried to find and build some of those things into this team that we thought would be important. In general, as an approach, that's why I do it like this.
Yeah, that's a good answer. It's a true answer. A quick thought here when it comes to outside noise, how's he handling that with his team?
I don't necessarily, I don't bring it up. I don't know if ignore is the right thing, but maybe it is for me. I don't talk about our situation as coaches, my situation. I talk to our team as if I'm going to be here forever, and I approach each day like that. That is, it's like I said, I want to provide them our best, and whatever I can alleviate that doesn't have to do with the football part of it or their lives part of it or their part in the program or going to class or being in the weight room. I try not to complicate it with anything else. They don't need any of that.
It's Mike Riley, man. He is such a class dude, better with image and narrative of a team than the actual product that's been on the field. If they could play and perform half as well as he stands up and talks and communicates with the media and people, they would be a 10-2 football team. 15 minutes away, Black Shirt Charlie, Mondays with Charlie, Coach McBride on the way with Hail Varsity Radio.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Well, tomorrow, a little bit after 5, or maybe 5:50, we'll do the Iowa-Nebraska ticket giveaway with Blur Party Passes. You can keep this thing up. This sounds good. I like this. You're like, just shut up and let me do my job. Danny's off to home. He's going to Chicago for a little Thanksgiving.
That's right.
So what is the Burke specialty?
Oof, Burke specialty.
Red and the white wine?
I guess it depends how the night's going, but we'll see. But no, I'm looking forward to getting some nice pumpkin pie, too. But
see,
I love the dessert.
We're getting a pie tomorrow. I'm a huge pecan fan. Love pecan pie.
Okay.
And I'm the only one who gets to, if I want pecan pie, I got to go buy it because no one else will hook me up and eat it. And then there's the apple and the pumpkin, and there's a pumpkin overload. This time of year freaks me out because the wife does... Everything's pumpkin spice. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Cereal, candles, decor. I mean, it's overload. It's like we're going to run out of it. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, you have this pumpkin spice, whatever, man. It's like everything is all fall-ish.
Too.
Well, probably.
Yeah, that's huge.
Can't do it.
They all love it.
No, can't do it. So I'm going, damn it, I'm getting cherry pie. Fine, you're going to stink eye me if I get pecan. No, we're going cherry. And we're hosting this year since we moved. So
that'll be fun. Eh, we'll see.
That's overrated. I'm charging at the door.
Exactly. You got to have a cover.
Leave your food, and I need $10. Your kids will mess up the house. So that's the rent. That's what it is. Slow starts an issue for Nebraska football. Why? Why have they continued to happen? While Nebraska had 10 points, they could have had more.
Oh, man. I wish I had something I could say about slow starts. I think that it's kind of what I brought up in summary. We gave up big plays. We had chances with good field position. We had 10 points. We had a chance to have 14 points. And we certainly didn't need to go, went stagnant for so long offensively that it really hurt us. It's like I said before, you know, when you're playing somebody as high-powered as Penn State, now you have to give them some credit, too, with the versatility they have. You know, they're going to score some points. You just got to be ready to respond. We responded, but it was late and too late. Went stagnant for a long time after making a few plays early. You just have to find the answer to that consistency, and I think it just comes through, you know, being ready at the start, but also being able to sustain and continue to make plays. You just have to score more points and respond when you're in a game like that against a team that has so many weapons.
Right on. And once some things started happening, once they hit their first 50-50 ball to Stanley, then it kind of started rolling positively. But it took something good for them to have happen to them for a response. Callers 9 and 10 qualify right now. Nebraska-Iowa tickets going to be around mid-50s. Going to be a gorgeous Black Friday. We'll do the drawing in hour two tomorrow for those Nebraska Iowa tickets, Blur Party passes. Caller 9, caller 10. Right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 9, caller 10. You qualify for Nebraska Iowa and Blur Party passes for you on Black Friday. Caller 9 and 10, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, producing and engineering. We are 25 minutes away. Demorne Pearson L. will join us. Our chat with the Husker senior. It is Monday. It is Monday shortly after 5. We welcome in legendary coach and coordinator at Nebraska, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Coach, how are we doing today?
Guys, it's Monday already?
I know, right? You blink and it's Monday, and it is Monday. I got to ask you, do you got your turkey already?
Well, I'm going over to Jared Tomich's, and he's done some 35 turkeys he's sold to people. So he wanted me over there to pull the guts out of them. That was nice of him to invite me over for that.
So you're going.
And then,
so
you, and we're going to. He's sold them already.
Okay, so he's asking you over to feed you, but you gotta degut them first, huh?
Yeah, well, you gotta. They're all still alive, so he'll probably give me a hatchet and then he'll tell me what to do and he'll watch.
So what's your reaction? You're like, okay, sure, as long as the bird's good.
I just talked to him, but the phone's been ringing like crazy today because I'm having one of those days, you know, you have once a year or so.
Well, all right. Yeah, a happy one of those days you have once a year, Coach.
That's right. And it's not Christmas.
No. Well, the candles and cake are on the way.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, they're still working on my basement downstairs pouring cement at this time of night.
Jeez.
I don't know.
Man, You're a tough guy. That's impressive.
I know.
Coach, got to ask you about Penn State, your reaction to the game. We'll get into Iowa here in a bit. But I think a question I want to know, and maybe some fans want to know, is, you know, you've seen the tackling not ever really improve. And the question is, why? What's your theory?
Well, there's, you know, there's so much time you have in practice. You know, all of this stuff has to be done every day. And I don't know their practice schedule, but I know that we had a certain amount of time for warm-ups. I assume they're in the same boat, and then you have individual period. You know, and so those individual periods for everybody, and sometimes they got so much to cover, you know, they don't do it. And I think that you got to emphasize it, because if you look at a couple of things, you know, like last week, for example, we had like, I don't know, 60, 70 yards of penalties in the first half. You know, it was, and that really hurt. I mean, it just, you know, we'd make a play, and then we'd have a holding penalty, and, you know, and something like that, and we had illegal procedures and stuff. So, you know, I think we had one of the linemen had two holdings and an illegal procedure, I think, in the first half, but one in each half. And that kind of stuff just shuts you down, and it really does hurt. And, you know, when I look at the turnover margin and penalties, like going into the Iowa game and comparing the both of them, Iowa's so far ahead of us. That's in a lot of the categories. Of course, we're ahead in offense, they're ahead in defense, and all the different, you know, as far as statistically. But when you get down to the games, it's turnover margin, and that's the team that turns it over is going to have some problems. And if you get a lot of penalties, it's the same thing. So, you know, I think a little bit of that happened to us, you know, this last week. And, you know, during the year, we weren't big on getting turnovers and stuff like that. So, you know, that all hurts.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, with the offense and the defense really not kind of syncing up very often this year, can that be demoralizing? I started the show talking off a bit about, you know, if there is change that happens. Go ahead.
Let them have some fun. Turn it loose. Get some blitzes going. Get some pressure. Have some fun with these guys. They're all standing there. They look like all they're doing, the defensive linemen, are just catching people and 3-on-5,
right.
You know, and then that guy's up in coverage. You can't rush the passer when it's 3-on-5. And, you know, and then when they blitz, what happens? Sack.
Right.
You know, and then that's the end of it. Do it every play or something. Or make, you know, kids don't like standing in one spot. And if you turn that big nose tackle loose and hit the seam hard, they're going to have a problem. And, you know, and those are the kind of guys in the tackles, the same thing. You know, get some penetration somehow. Be sound, but, you know, you got to take some chances. And, you know, maybe they're afraid to be deep, or maybe they're afraid that they don't tackle good, but you got to forget that now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there'll be extra concentration on this game. I think it's going to mean a lot to those kids, really. And, you know, it's tough to win over there, but they can do it. I mean, they can do it, and that's, you know, that's just my feeling about it. And, you know, I think they're going to play well. I always do, but I think they're going to play well and, you know, hope something really good comes out of it.
Coach, you have a game that kicks off at 3 here in Lincoln. Black Fridays, they've been just a lot of fun to cover, and now it's Iowa. Before it was Colorado. Before that, it was Oklahoma. And I wanted to ask you here a thought on just this team when it comes to responding. Not just responding, but if something goes sideways on them, it seems like that can finish them off, the mental toughness side of things. And can you speak a little bit to the process of building guys up to be able to overcome the negative. When things go wrong, either on offense or defense or special teams, being able to hang with it. It seems like depending on how the game starts, mm-hmm. it kind of tells you the story about how the game will end.
Well, you know, I one of the things that I used personally with the defense was that if you quit on the field, and each play is 6 seconds to 12 seconds at the most, okay. usually long. If you can't go 100% during that time, then probably you're not going to be very wealthy.
Right.
Because you're going to be a quitter in life. If you quit, it's easy to quit, and it's hard to keep going. It's just like it's hard to build a program and easy to make it go in the tank. And but I use the fact that, you know, if you do something like that, you can count on it that you will do that in your job and everything else, and you're just beating yourself up. Because if you get used to doing that kind of thing, then it's easy to quit. I mean, you and I could just hang the phone up, you could walk away, and we could quit. It's easy, right? But it's not. It's hard to get the job. It's hard to get where you're at, and, you know, it's not easy. So you got to really play hard. And these guys that are younger, mm-hmm. shoot, they got to show them who's boss. You know, that next year, you know, when we play them, we're going to beat you again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just the way the attitude you have to take. And so you promote that kind of stuff, and you promote the things that push back on them. In other words, if you quit, you'll be a quitter. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just simple terms, but
right.
And there's life. There's things in life that evolves around. I mean, it's like I said, if you do it once, you'll do it again and again and again. And pretty soon you're sitting at home. You don't have any money. You're looking for a job or whatever it is.
Coach, what was Thanksgiving week like for you all those years getting ready for Oklahoma and Colorado?
Fun.
Yeah, do you love it?
You know, because you knew. Oh yeah, because you know how good they are when you play them. I mean, you know, you're not going to go play. Well, at that time, let's just use Kansas State way back when you know they weren't very good. So you go down there and you play like heck, and then the second half you kind of have to back off and things like that. But you know, it's the whole week is pretty much built around, you know you're going to play a good football team. And that's you practice like you're playing a good football team every week. That's the one thing. If I was going to go say, what is the one thing that we did when I was in the 23 years I was at Nebraska, practice never changed, no matter who the person was. Or the team was. It never changed. We practiced hard all the time. And you know, you may have times when you're upset with the defense because they're making mistakes or something. But, you know, I always told kids, if you make a mistake, make it. But don't stop and think about it. Go full speed and let her go. Mm. You know, just you know, you never can tell what's going to happen. And the other thing I'm seeing a little bit with this bunch is that, you know, if there's a play away, I'm getting the back end of this stuff on TV, some of it, and some of these guys are loafing. And the one thing is, my question to those guys would be, how are you, if you're not going full speed, how are you going to recover the fumble?
Right.
You won't be there, you know, and, you know, things like that. Or how are you going to pick it up and run for a touchdown? You're not going to be there. So, you know, don't waste my time talking to you about that stuff. You know, I'm going to see everybody there at the ball. I don't care. You just get there. And that was the end of that tune.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, if this is it for Mike Riley, what do you remember about Coach Riley as far as how classy he's been?
Well, yeah, it just, I mean, all week I've been pretty out, you know. I mean, I just hate seeing anybody that's that kind of a person, you know. It's just, it hurts a little bit, and I mean a lot. It hurts me. I kept in touch with him, you know, we text back and forth a little bit and on and then, but it wasn't always about football, but it was just trying to keep them, you know, positive and things like that. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that I think would be better for his staff. Others, it could be, you know, how things with changing personnel went, you know, whether it was him or somebody else helping him out the door, or I don't know that stuff, but
right.
You know, there's some things in there, I think, maybe that there was done, you know, over his head a little bit and told, this is what I want and this is what I don't want, and da, 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 you know, and I get nervous about that kind of stuff, and that means you're not letting your coach coach. And I think that's really important. The one thing I know that we did, Coach Osborne let us coach. Mm-hmm. And if there was something he didn't like, he'd come in and tell you about it. And simple as that.
And so, I'm sure his conversations started off pretty well, you know. I mean, he had his own way of telling you something he didn't like, correct?
Right. One time I think I kicked a kid in the butt my first year there, and he said, well, he came in the next morning, sat down, and he said, you know, we really don't want to do that at Nebraska.
Yeah.
That's simple. That was it. It was none of it, you know, and I just got so wired. I was too young then. But, you know, it is. It's straightforward. You know, it doesn't have to come screaming in there and yelling. And, you know, I learned that a lot with my children, you know, how he treated me. I realized what it meant, how he talked to me was the same thing as what I tried. I was, you know, get with the kids, like I was coaching players, you know, a lot of times.
Right.
And, but the way he did things and listened, he'll listen to you. And at the end of the year, we would have a one-on-one in his office, every coach. And you tell him honestly what you didn't like about some of the things he might have done or how he ran practice or anything you wanted to tell him, you tell him. And if he didn't like things that you were doing, he would tell you. And, you know, it got to a point where, you know, we kind of knew each other pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I probably went, I don't remember ever him saying, well, I already don't have anything, you know, to say that you did, you know, that you did. But the first few years he might have said it. But, you know, but he was always straightforward, and everybody got their shot to say what they really think. And that meant a lot. That meant a lot to me as a coach. And I don't know how Riley handles that. I know that he, you know, sometimes I think he's a little bit shy with his assistants, you know, and doesn't really – maybe make a move on them and tell them, hey, listen, buddy, you know.
Sure.
It's time that, you know, but I don't know that. I can't answer that. I don't coach there.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times I don't want to speak out of turn, you know,
sure.
Say something that's negative because I'm not at practice and I don't know the players that well. And so, I mean, I don't know them really at all. I know their names and hello, goodbye type of thing.
Right.
But I think they got some kids with some pride on them. I really do. And I think that a lot of those kids on defense got a lot of pride. I've never seen a kid that was a wrestler not go to the end. And those, like, you know, the Davis kids,
sure.
Those kids wrestled. And they, you know, things like that. You know, if you quit wrestling, you're going to be embarrassed in front of everybody. And, you know, and that's kind of the same way it turns over in football. And I know that, you know, in defensive linemen, I think I've said that before, always had great balance because they were wrestlers and it was really a help to them.
Charlie McBride's
with
us.
I'm looking for good things. I really am.
Coach, it'll be great to talk to you again, and happy day to you, all right?
Okay. Thanks a lot for having me. I'll talk to you next week.
See you, Coach. Take care.
Okay.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. Des Moines Pearson L back with us. Des Moines, what is this, our fourth, fifth time through your career? It's been fun covering you. How you been? How's this week gonna go for you?
It's rough. It's an emotional. I think it kind of hit me today a little bit, starting it too. But you know what? It's closing to a wonderful chapter. I love this university. I love this state. I love these fans. And they've been supportive. And, I mean, that's all you can really ask for. And, yeah, I'll miss this place.
Does it seem like it's coming to an end? You blink. I mean, last time, just it seems like, I don't know, a week ago we're talking about the game.
It did go in a flash, you know. A lot of coaches talk about it. It'll go quick, and you kind of get to game eight, and it's just like, where did things go? But you know, it's just you have fun while it lasts.
What does the senior DeMornay want to say to the freshman DeMornay if he could?
No matter what, stay hungry. Don't let anybody discourage you. Believe in your ability, no matter what, no matter the odds against you. Stay true to yourself and prove everybody wrong.
A few minutes here, DeMornay Pearson with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Got a story to tell you, and I know this is your interview. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting at the old living room. Mm-hmm. It's me and my boy, and you make that game-tying punt return against Iowa. Uh-huh. And in the end zone, there's some chipping going on. Uh-huh. So the following Sunday, we're at church, and the offering plate comes by, and hey, I'm gonna do the DeMornay, Dad. He starts chipping off offering dollars into the plate. I'm not making this up. What's your reaction to that?
I mean, you know, I guess, I mean,
he's eight, so.
You know, I mean, that's just, you know, people always are watching. And you always have an influence, so you know, I guess it's a positive one. So it's funny to me, but I mean, that's crazy though. That's hilarious.
Well, let's go back to your skill set, how important you've been to this offense, and jet sweep over the middle, jump balls in the end zone, punt return game. What area do you think you've grown most in to this point in your career? Is there something that's always been, for lack of a better word, easy? And what have you had to work on to get elite at?
What I had to work at, just, you know, just coming back from that injury, just kind of actually like believing in kind of like I'm that same person. You kind of fall and people fall off and people change up and everything like that. Just coming back, what I've grew in, I would say probably tough grabs and just kind of reading what's given and not trying to go too much and, you know, just going with the flow, just getting the flow and being consistent, being more consistent, more reliable. I said that's probably what I've grown in. And the things that's always been the same, I mean, the punt returning, I guess you can say that. And I just when it all matters, just being the one, you know, that comes through. If it's a tough third down, if it's a tough couple yards, if it's a key block, you know, just doing my job. And that, I guess you can say, that's what I've normally typically do.
Do you have a favorite punt return?
A favorite one. It's between the Michigan State and the Iowa one. You can't go wrong with either one. I don't know, because I mean, if we go back and you win that Michigan State, then that's the only thing that's really different than the Iowa one for the most part. So I don't really know. And then I mean that Oregon one isn't too far behind. I could have scored right then and there, but the burners just didn't kick in. So you know. I don't know. It's one of them three. It's one of them three. I don't know. I can't choose between those three, but it's one of them.
Your thoughts on how Tanner finished against Penn State? 12-point loss, but you guys caught fire. And also to that, a thought on how things kind of stalled in that second quarter.
You know, Tanner. He'll gather himself and come back, and he's going to give it everything you have, and that's all you can really ask for in a dude that you're going to battle with. It's just somebody who's going to give it his all, and hit after hit, play after play, he got up and still came out throwing. He went out guns blazing, and that's all you can ask for. And, you know, it was on us. And I think we came together as a whole on the offensive side just to get things done. And it started too late. It was little stuff throughout the beginning of the game. That second half adjustments made to, we kind of settled in. It was just like, okay, and we started playing our game, but it was quarters too late.
A few minutes here, DeMornay Pearson with us, Hale Varsity Radio. DeMornay, thought on this Iowa game. What's that Hawkeye-Nebraska showdown mean to you?
One more last ride, you know. It's going to be a bruiser. It's always a game between us. You look forward to it. It's a fun game. You respect that university. You respect those players. But I mean, you know, it's you're out there playing for more, and you're playing for the people to the left and to the right of you. One more last time at Memorial Stadium. One last time putting the end on. So you know, you got to go out with a bang.
How are you and the seniors gonna get through it? Have you thought about one last time? I mean, are you trying not to?
It comes and goes. I really try not to, because it's you know.
Does it make you sad?
Sad that it's ending. Yeah. Sad that it's how everything's turned out. Sad that, you know, it's just over the past 4 years you've been in this wonderful place, and it's just. Like, you did your time, and it's just time to move on. And it's just, you don't kind of – you don't know exactly what's next. And so, you're just still putting pieces together. And it's just, you know, it's the growing up part now. And that's the hard part of saying goodbye to a place that has been a strong foundation of making who you are, not even on the field, just off the field, and the relations that you build and everything like that. So, I mean, that's really the hardest part, is just knowing that my time here is done.
How's Nebraska shaped you?
It made me a better person. Definitely coming to the Midwest, seeing how nice people are, made me a better me. Coming from the East Coast, you experience different things, different culture out here. You make relationships that'll last you a lifetime. And you really find out who you are. And Nebraska has shaped me to be the person I am here today. And I can do nothing but thank the state, thank the football, thank everybody. And Big Red Nation.
Not to get too deep here, but how did it make you better?
You know, just fighting back. You know, our fans are the best ever. Growing up as a person, you come out here with pretty much no family. Nebraska gave me structure. Nebraska gave me a family. Nebraska gave me something to lean up on, being away from home. And, you know, when I was going through something, it was still fans that still sent support. I don't know how many letters I got daily, hoping to get a wish you well letters. I don't know how many classes I've went to. I don't know how many classes have wrote me throughout the whole state. So I mean, it makes you appreciate the things that you do, you know.
So you had like grade school classes, fourth grade language arts teachers like, hey, let's write the morning. You've gotten letters like that?
I'll probably get 4 a year, I would say. Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
For a whole class. I think this year, I actually got a class from California, actually. Yeah.
Will Calabrasca love?
Yeah, a little bit. So I mean, that's just you touch a population playing for this university, and I mean, it really represents something, and that's all you can really do.
What's Mike Riley been like to play for and learn from?
He definitely sharpens your mind and seeing things from an offensive perspective. So he shaped me to be a better weapon. Obviously, his offensive scheme is really nice. So I mean, thank him for that. And I mean, just to be of a thinking player, to plan out situations and everything like that, awareness around on the football field, what to look for, tendencies and stuff like that. So I thank him for that, and for bringing in a coach, you know, to develop me a lot better.
And tell me about Dub. I mean, his advice, his relationship with you, and his development.
He's a headache.
Do you mean that lovingly?
yeah, I do. I mean, but that's just the type of person he is. He's going to get it out you regardless. players. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for in a position coach. It's going to be times to where he gets on you and you think it's getting you personally, and it's really not. That's just he's a passionate guy, and that's just him coming out. And he actually sees something in you that you might not see, or he's pushing you to be a better you. So you can't do nothing but thank a person like that for actually taking a chance on you and being on you to push you past your limits and developing your game to new levels. And that's what he's been to the wide receiver room, just not me, period, but anybody who stepped in that room. You've gotten better on and off the field just dealing with life situations through football, and he show you how relatable they actually are.
Does he know how perfectly to button push you?
Yes.
How?
I would say he has his PhD in pushing your buttons, but I mean, he's a coach. He's a coach for a reason. He's supposed to. And I mean, he gets you to play, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters. He gets you. Each day you get better and better with his coaching, and I truly believe that.
DeMornay Pearsonell, DeMornay, it's been a blast to cover you, man. Thanks for a few.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Gotta love DeMornay. First had a chance to sit down with him Miami week in 2014. Had a chance to catch up a couple of times a year since his time here. He is a tremendous talent. Love watching him play, and good dude, and very very sincere with his thoughts on just what his time in Nebraska did for him. I mean, he was pretty sincere about just shaping him. So pretty real talk from DeMornay Pearsonell. When you think of Hail Varsity, you think of the amazing Husker photos, and how many of those had DeMornay Pearsonell in them. And when you think of Hail Varsity's photography needs, and Aaron Babcock just does an amazing job, put their trust in Rockbrook Camera and Sony. So Sony's mirrorless imaging technology achieves new dimensions in photographic speed and performance. And the cameras, they're the fraction of the size and weight of traditional digital SLR cameras. If you love photography, if you love what Hail Varsity does, Rockbrook Camera, where you need to go. Three area locations and online, rockbrookcamera.com. The choice that Aaron Babcock trusts and Hail Varsity trusts. A quick timeout. Chip Kelly, where's he going to end up? We'll hit on it next with Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. True story, as DeMornay is returning that putt against Iowa, gets into the end zone, and he's got the palm of one hand, the fingers in one hand, on the palm of his others, and he's chipping like he's making it rain. It's hilarious. And I asked him about it because Carson, and this is 4 years ago, saw it, started doing it, and then chipped his ones off into the offering plate. And I turned beet red through embarrassment. But that Mike Carson was just doing that. I guess it's a credit that he was doing offering. I don't know, but yeah, I said, son, you hand the money in there. You don't chip. Oh, I'm an awful parent. That's all there is to it. Who is going to win the Chip Kelly sweepstakes? Chip was asked about where the heck are you going to end up by his ESPN friends this past weekend.
Last week, some were tracking, I'm sure you know, a Gainesville plane that came around the area here in Connecticut. I'm sure you've heard about it, and the dots were connecting that you potentially to the Florida Gators. What kind of interest do you have in the Gators head coach opening?
Is this your way of firing me?
Not at all. We want you here. A bad telestration.
So you know how you try to ease someone out the door, and you're like, well, maybe we have a soft place for you to land.
No, so we want you here, yeah. But obviously you will be in demand outside.
I was in New Hampshire last week, so I really enjoy what I'm doing now. I think Florida is an outstanding program and has had so much success here with Urban, Steve Spurrier. I think whoever gets that job will be really lucky.
Okay. And you weren't here?
No, I wasn't in Bristol. I'm in Bristol on the weekends.
Bristol on the weekends.
I'm in New Hampshire during the week.
No flight checking during the week. He's not here.
I mean, there's a line, okay? So you have coachingscoop.com, I like that site. They do a nice job of putting out pretty accurate information. SB Nation is also in on the coaching carousel. And Chip Kelly is a domino. It looked like it was just Florida. Now UCLA gets rid of Jim Mora. Does Chip go to the West Coast? And there's other dominoes to follow. You have Florida that still really likes Scott Frost, but they are big on Randy Shannon staying as coordinator to keep the recruiting class together. And you'd have to assume Scott wants to travel his staff with him if he decides to move on, wherever that may be. What do you do if you're UCLA? Well, the Orange County Register put a short list of UCLA candidates. Chip Kelly, number one. James Franklin's out there. I think someone would be dynamite at UCLA. Mike Norvell of Memphis, deservedly so, is getting a lot of play. But Mike Riley ended up on this list because he did so well at times in the Pac-12. And imagine him at UCLA as a fit. And I think he'd be a fit. They just wouldn't be super excited about it. But you have dominoes. Where does Chip end up? What's UCLA do? Does Arkansas go after Gus Malzahn if he doesn't beat Alabama? Does Gus go home to Arkansas, where he coached under Houston Nutt? If that happens, Auburn is open, by the way. Does Jimbo take more calls from A&M? Does he really want out of Florida State? If that's the case, does Florida State open with Florida being open? You have Oregon and Taggart. And does Taggart want to return down to the South? His buyout's not excruciating. If he leaves Oregon, does Oregon now get in the Scott Frost sweepstakes? You have a monster domino effect, and you have two names that pretty much are universal. Everybody either wants Scott Frost or they want Chip Kelly. There's two guys for how many potential jobs? You know Florida's open. You know UCLA's open. You know Tennessee's open. That's just three. But there could be Florida, UCLA, Arkansas, Tennessee's open. Auburn, Florida State, A&M, Oregon, Nebraska. So what's the fallout? Two guys, 100 jobs, it feels like, and then the mixing and matching. Where does Sumlin go if he's not retained at A&M? Does Mullen jump to Tennessee? Is Gruden a real thing? Who goes to Auburn? Auburn really has to wear the hell out of their coaches, because you play for a championship, you should have beat Florida State. You didn't. You fire a guy after winning a championship, and Chizik inherited a sweet team, I'm not going to lie. And he got Cam. And then there's, well, they're 8-4, they're 8-4, they're 8-5. What'd they do? 7-5 last year? I don't remember. But they took a drastic downturn because quarterback play wasn't good. They've been really in it all season. Tough loss to Clemson. What the heck happened against LSU? But other than that, you've been pretty money. So, and Kevin Steele's down there, former Nebraska assistant, incredible recruiter. Well, Steele's a defensive coordinator down there. So there's so many moving parts here with the jobs, and specifically with the SEC, with Florida, with Tennessee, with presumably Arkansas, with maybe Auburn, with A&M. Ole Miss is going to be open. They're not going to keep their interim coach. You make a jump. I mean, if I'm Ole Miss or Tennessee, I mean, and then to go back to the Pac-12 for a second, and Coach Barnett told us this last week, you got to give T. Martin a call if you're Tennessee. I mean, you're a national championship winning quarterback at Tennessee. Your offense with your talent pool, but you've recruited most of it, has been incredible at USC. You go back home if you're T. Martin and finally get that head coaching job after being a coordinator a long time. And what if the old pirate throws his hat into the ring in the SEC? What if Mike Leach is like a real possibility at Arkansas? Kind of a weird spot. I could see Leach just having a hell of a good time at the world's biggest Walmart. He loved the SEC. He loved chucking the ball around. He loved the athletes he had when he was at Kentucky. This is right before 99 and joining Stoops' staff at Oklahoma, loading that team up offensively for the 2000 title run when Mangino took the OC job over after being the offensive line coach. So what if Leach decides to do this jump to the SEC in a weird place like Arkansas? I mean, if you're from Arkansas or you went there, I'm not saying it's weird, but it's similar to like a Washington State, Texas Tech, kind of just out there. If I'm Tennessee, I throw a lot of money at Leach. I think he'd have a party down at Rocky Top. Or he just absolutely commands a monster raise from the goofball at Washington State that ran his AD out. Lots of things to chew on there. But yeah, these dominoes fall, these jobs open, they're closed. There's back channels going on. Sauter Heyman, tell you what, you can speak face-to-face with Mr. Rick Heyman and find out what's great for this holiday season. 0% interest financing through 2020. Check out their extensive collection of both Earthmind and pure-grown diamonds. One-carat diamonds available, $99 down, $99 a month. Go see Rick, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Route West, in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. We'll say goodbye to a Monday next.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Busy show tomorrow, holiday week, as we'll get in touch with Mitch Sherman and Rick Pizzo. Big thanks to DeMorte Pierce-Dale for a few minutes with us today. Coach McBride, wish him a happy birthday. Happy birthday to Coach. He's awesome. Got his thoughts on the game against Penn State and heading into Iowa. And Blackshirt Jay Moore spent some time with us in hour one as we tried to figure out kind of that A, B, and C when it comes to fixing Nebraska football. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Court, can tap house, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Just spent time on the Chip Kelly domino effect and where he may end up and how that could affect Nebraska. If you plan to go out tonight, get that sober ride home. Make plans to have a sober ride. You get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI that could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time and be required to install an interlock device to your vehicle. If you're making plans, make plans to have that sober ride home before you go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Caller 9, caller 10. Right now, 24 hours from now, we'll give away Nebraska-Iowa tickets and Bloor party passes. So caller 9, caller 10, right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865 is how you get in here. Can tap the line and qualify for Iowa-Nebraska tickets and those Bloor party passes. So caller 9 and 10. Qualify right now. Your forecast for Saturday, 67 and sunny. High five that. Crank your smoker up for that. Get your grill fired up one more time for that. Caller 9 and 10 qualify Nebraska, Iowa tickets, Bloor party pass. So enjoy that. Going to be an awesome day. Don't forget, we're at Miller Time Pub on Black Friday from 10 to noon. Conveniently duck out of shopping. Come get some food and drink specials with us from 10 to noon. And get after it. Have a good time. Get ready for Nebraska, Iowa. Caller 9 and 10 right now. Qualify for Bloor party passes and Nebraska, Iowa tickets. One day, 24 hours from now, we will give those away. Are you in tomorrow?
I am not in tomorrow.
Okay, so Colton's going to do the lucky drawing.
Yep, I'll be back next Monday, though.
You sound excited about that, Danny. It's all right.
Hopefully we'll be talking about a win.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be nice, and is it completely ruled out yet about the bowl spot?
I don't know. I guess we'll see how this game goes.
See how many other 5-7s there are?
Yeah.
Getting ahead of ourselves. All right, brother. Thanks. We'll wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. You
get
as well.
Get that pecan pie. There he is, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. And 800-825-5865. 466-3776. Qualify for Nebraska and Iowa tickets, those Blur Party passes. And Daniel gets qualified here in a minute. So good luck with that. Talk to you tomorrow. You missed the show. It's a good one. Great stuff from DeMorne Pearson, Al, Coach McBride, Mondays with Charlie, and Mr. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Find us in the Lincoln ESPN Lincoln app, iTunes, or HailVarsity.com for the podcast. For Danny Schmitty, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity.